T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The third, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Brown. T2, Tim Snow, the Timinator. Working the board. Lonzo makes his triumphant return on Monday. Mulleted or unmulleted, we don't know.
Hopefully mulleted.
Hopefully very mulleted. I'm betting against it, though, right? I'm betting against it.
I'm betting against it, but I'm extremely hopeful.
I tried to talk him into it. I tried to get him to do it. He then went on a very long brag about how when he moved here, how he rocked a heavy mullet. Rocked a heavy mullet. He promises me that there are pictures of the mulleted one, but he has yet to produce them.
Oh, I got to see this.
But he bragged about rocking a hard 80s mullet back in the day. And he's like, I'm not afraid. So we'll see. Like I said, he sent a tweet to me yesterday, Wednesday, right before he got the long hair. He has gone radio silent since then, which means he's either going to show up Monday with a mullet that he wants to shock us all with, or he's going to show up Monday without one. But Lonzo, a self-declared master troll.
What if he shows up with like a clean cut?
0% chance.
But what if he does?
Zero. Negative percent chance. You would have to give me like plus 700,000 odds to put a dollar on that bet.
I think I would have culture shock after that.
No chance.
Yeah.
There's zero chance. The mullet is a not a probability, a possibility. I would put the mullet at like plus 850. Like there's the tiniest of chances. But again, there's also a part of me that thinks like, I think he'd go for it, right? Like I think he'd try it and then he'd just let it grow back out. But I'm not banking on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm not banking on it. All right. We have got, ladies and gentlemen, some Sweet 16 basketball lighting up today. We have got a few surprise participants still in the March Madness field. Number 15 seed Princeton upset number 2 seed Arizona. A number of y'all's NCAA Final Four participants are bounced thanks to Princeton. They dropped the SEC's number 7 seed Missouri to make the regional semifinals. Arkansas, an 8 seed under Eric Musselman, the unshirted one. 8-seed Arkansas shocked my national championship pick, the Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawks, in the second round, and then upset tournament darling number 9-seed FAU there in the Sweet 16 seed. 9-seed Florida Atlantic is in. Arkansas beat Kansas. Florida Atlantic beat Memphis and Farley Dickinson, who beat number 1 Purdue. So we got the Sweet 16 starting up today. Game number 1 goes at 3:30 on TBS when the 3 seed Kansas State takes on the 7 seed Michigan State. So far, Sparty under Tom Izzo has had the more impressive slate. They knocked off USC. They knocked Marquette, the 2 seed, out 69-60 and an upset. And now the Spartans, a 7 seed, are actually favored to win this game. But Kansas State, season long, a little bit more battle-tested. The Big 12 was very good this year. Kansas State played all the way through it. They knocked off Kentucky, and they looked real good doing it. The Wildcats and the Spartans today at 3:30. This, ladies and gentlemen, I think is my favorite game of today, all right? Because you got a Kansas State team that had a much more difficult regular season. You had a Kansas State team that looked really good in their win over Kentucky in the round of 32. Sparty under Tom Izzo was a good team that was not talked about coming into this tournament. Any team under Tom Izzo is going to be talked about. They weren't. I don't think I saw anybody taking Sparty in the Final Four. Of course, nobody took Kansas State either. The Spartans are the betting favorite in this game. I am going with the Wildcats. Give me Kansas State 70-67. I think this game is a three-point game. I think this game is a game that is likely going to be a little bit higher scoring. The game is set at 138.5 on the over-under line. And I'm going to take the over in this one. All right. Michigan State is 11-9 against the spread when favored by one or more points this season. In games it has played as at least a one-point underdog this year, Kansas State is 7-8 against the spread. They lose more than they win when they are a one-point or greater underdog. These two teams average 145.7 points per game combined. That is over 8 points more than the over-under set at 137.5. I am going with the Cougs in this one, 77-75. I think it's a high-scoring game. Two teams that love to push the pace, they will do it against each other. Then after that one's done at 4:15, number 4 UConn versus number 8 Arkansas. Eric Musselman, head coach of Arkansas, is a guy I gave a lot of love to last year. And I've said a number of times that Eric Musselman is my illustration of the fact that players, especially in college basketball, players do not play for the school. They play for the coach, right? If I am an athletic director looking to hire a new basketball coach, the number one thing I'm looking for, I would love a pedigree. I would love to have a coach with a reputation and history of winning. I love a great basketball mind. But perhaps the most important thing that I'm looking for is a guy who connects with players. Players in college basketball do not play for schools. They do not play for logos. They do not play for mascots. They do not play for love of any of that. They play for a coach. Eric Musselman is the perfect example. Musselman went to Arkansas, a place that has not had success on the basketball court for a very long time. And now all of a sudden Arkansas is in the Sweet 16. Not only in the Sweet 16, but they knocked off a very popular national champion pick in Kansas to get here. They go up against UConn. UConn may have had the most impressive run through their first two games to get here. UConn cruised in their opening two games, played very smooth basketball. The problem is, much like Eric Musselman, Arkansas is chaotic. Now, in Vegas, the Huskies, -190 on the money line, the Razorbacks are +160. Statistically speaking, most of the models I looked at like UConn here. UConn is better in every statistical category. They average more points per game. They surrender fewer points per game. They average more rebounds per game. They average more assists per game. They are remarkably consistent. Keep in mind, Arkansas played in a very good SEC this year. An SEC that had Bama, that had A&M, that had Kentucky, that had Missouri, a very good SEC. So I'm 0% shocked that the models that predict based on statistics are going UConn in this one. But I'm taking Arkansas. Because like I said, despite the fact that the Razorbacks have shot very poorly from deep in this tournament, they're 6 of 26 in the three-point line of the two games so far. The Razorbacks are chaotic. They do not let you control the pace of play. They control the pace of play. They're not going to do it any differently than that. I like Arkansas on this. Eric Musselman has got a team that confuses, confounds, and allows him to take his shirt off during the NCAA tournament. Give me the Pigs. I'm going to take them 72-70 over UConn to place an 8 seed in the Elite Eight. Coming up at 6 p.m. tonight, Tennessee versus FAU. Florida Atlantic was 31-3 before the NCAA tournament began. They are the Conference USA champions. The odds favor Tennessee, and I am going with Tennessee. I have said on this show in the past, I don't care what conference you play out of. I don't care if you play in a Power Five. I don't care if you play in a mid-major with one bid. 31 wins in any season tells me you're a damn good basketball team. That's a very difficult record to accomplish. But as I've mentioned, there is something to say deep in the tournament about teams that are, as I said, about Arkansas, battle-tested. Teams that played a more difficult schedule in the regular season are a little bit more used to high-stakes games like this one. Tennessee, another team that did it in the SEC, is minus 240 on the money line. When you get deeper into these tournaments, you start to see the Farley Dickinsons bow out. Why? Because this deep into a tournament is where talent can overcome adversity, right? Early in the tournament, some of the teams have been sitting down for a week and a half after their conference championships. They haven't had time to develop chemistry. They may have gotten off the same page, specifically teams that are very offensively orientated. That is why I told you, if I am looking at a bracket and I just can't pick a winner between two teams, almost exclusively, I am going to go with the team that has the better defense. Tennessee, 5.5-point favorites. I think these are two well-matched teams. I think this is a very strength-on-strength matchup. These are two physical teams. These teams are going to beat the hell out of each other without a doubt. I am not sleeping on the Owls here, but Tennessee just flat out has more talent. Give me the Volunteers by 10 in this one. When that one wraps up, at 6:45 p.m., the game with the lowest point spread in the Sweet 16, number 2, UCLA, number 3, Gonzaga. Either one of these teams could be national champions at this point. These teams, when it came to bracketology amongst us all, were about evenly split between the brackets that had one or the other in the Final Four, about 50-50 between the two. The last hope for the Pac-12 is UCLA. Gonzaga, Drew Timmy, said the other day, we know we have to be on our A game because if we're not, quote, they'll kick our ass, end quote. They know it. They know it. And they are not taking this one lightly. Gonzaga is a very good basketball team. A very good basketball team. Drew Timmy is a very good player. This is a pick'em game, ladies and gentlemen. My pick'em, give me the Bruins. Because of the reason I just told you. Mick Cronin's team is a defensively oriented team. They're a team that wipes the glass. They are a team that is going to out-rebound you. And they are a team that, unless you are perfectly precise with the basketball, is going to create more turnovers on average than just about anybody else. Gonzaga is a very disciplined team, which is why I think this game is going to be like a one-point game when it comes down to it. but I'm going to take the glass advantage of UCLA to push them past Gonzaga. Then tonight, we wrap it all up. No, sorry, that is tonight. Those are the four from today. Tomorrow, we got Alabama versus San Diego State at 3:30. We've got Houston versus Miami at 4:15. We have got Creighton versus Princeton at 6. And then one of the most interesting games of all, Texas versus Xavier at 6:45 tomorrow night. We will break those four games down in their entirety on tomorrow's radio broadcast. So there you go. There are today's picks in the Sweet 16. Against the spread, give me Kansas State to cover Michigan State. Give me Arkansas to upset and cover UConn. Give me UCLA and a pick 'em over Gonzaga. And give me Tennessee to cover the spread over number 9 seed FAU. Let us take a break. When we come back, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Despite the unavailability of the great one, we're going to do Fight Club anyway. Why? Because we are less than a week and a half away from the Showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania. We're going to talk a little pro wrestling, a little MMA, and a major, major development in the world of boxing that I'll get to as well. The only station, the only show in the upstate that covers combat sports is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Time for Fight Club. I want to start with a little boxing news. You guys know I am a fan of the sweet science. You guys also know that I am disappointed by the direction that boxing has gone in. Why? But because it has gotten to the point where the biggest fights don't happen, or at least don't happen the way that they should. And now, it has happened again. A while back, what was established was a de facto four-man tournament to be crowned the undisputed heavyweight king of all the land. You had Deontay Wilder in there, Alexander Usyk, Tyson Fury. Now we found out that what likely should have been that championship of that de facto tournament might not happen. Why? Next month was supposed to be a blockbuster fight. Probably the first boxing match that I will have paid money for since the last time Deontay Wilder fought. That fight was supposed to be between Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury at Wembley Stadium, and it is now, according to ESPN, in jeopardy. Why? Alexander Usyk has shut down his training camp and has apparently set plans to regroup with his management team to plot out his next fight. The 36-year-old Ukrainian holds the WBA, the WBO, and the IBF heavyweight titles. Tyson Fury is the current WBC heavyweight champion. Tyson Fury's promoter Frank Warren and Alexander Usyk's promoter Alexander Krasiuk discussed the stalled negotiations during a joint radio interview Wednesday on Talk Sport in the UK. Warren, who is the promoter for Fury, said he received an email Tuesday from Usyk's manager that stated, quote, Team Usyk is out of further negotiations. Krasiuk, the promoter for Usyk, said, quote, the fight is called off. The reason for that is that it went too far. There was a feeling after Usyk accepted a 70-30 Tyson Fury started thinking that he could put a saddle around his neck and start riding Usyk as much as he can. It's not right. I mean, Usyk accepted the 70-30 split. Now, what that means is for all of the box office from this that goes to the fighters, Tyson Fury was set to receive 70% of that revenue, Alexander Usyk 30%, despite the fact that Usyk brings three belts into the mix and Tyson Fury brings one. But it makes sense. Tyson Fury is, love or hate the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury is the most famous and well-known boxer on planet Earth right now. Alexander Usyk just is not. So a 70-30 split going to Tyson Fury. Usyk's manager, however, is now saying that Tyson Fury is trying to put other demands on the table at this point. He said, quote, if it's so complicated that Tyson tries to avoid it by putting so many obstacles in front while making the deal, then there's no need to put more effort in and we just go our way. There was a list of things Fury wanted to get in his favor that were absolutely unacceptable, which were completely disrespectful to the unified heavyweight champ and the former undisputed cruiserweight champion. However, Warren said the sides had ironed out all the issues Sunday, except for the split of net revenue in the rematch. According to sources, the sides agreed to a bilateral rematch rematch clause that the loser could trigger. Usyk's side pushed for the same 70-30 split, but in his favor for a return bout in the UK should he defeat Fury. Fury asked for a 50-50 split in the UK, where he's obviously a major star, if he suffered his first professional defeat. When Usyk signed to fight Anthony Joshua in September 2021 in London, a fight he won to capture the three belts he currently holds, the rematch clause that Joshua went on to exercise included a 50-50 split. The rematch clause, however, only pertains to a return bout in the UK. If the rematch took place in the Middle East, where sizable site fees are the norm for big boxing events, each side would do its own deal. Usyk and Joshua ended up in Saudi Arabia for their August 22 rematch, which Usyk also won via decision. Fury and Usyk were in talks with officials from Saudi Arabia before they had turned their attention to the UK. Last week, Tyson Fury, as he has done so many times, decided to go on Twitter with a message to Alexander Usyk. He said, quote, how about there is no rematch clause for both of us? Never worry about what's in the future or how many more dollars you can get after you've been defeated. Worry about the fight. No rematch clause. Winner takes the glory. The loser goes home. How about that? Agree to that. Usyk posted a response that said, quote, greedy belly. The clause comes from your side, not mine. Stop whining and ducking. Be a man. Ink the contract or vacate the belt. I need undisputed not to play your stupid games, end quote. So effectively what we have here is a disagreement over 20% of the box office in a rematch if a rematch was to occur. And because of that 20% at the box office in a rematch if a rematch was to occur, we are not going to get a unification bout between the two best heavyweights alive on planet Earth right now. Until this stuff stops happening, boxing is going to continue to stray further and further and further away from the glory, from the prestige that the sport used to hold. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing shy of disappointing as hell. All right, let's get to WrestleMania 39 because we've got some updates to the card so far, ladies and gentlemen. The card as we know it right now has some matches I'm very into, some not so much. Hell in a Cell, Edge versus Finn Balor. And by the way, we will on this show, Lonzo and I, give our WrestleMania previews and predictions next week during Fight Club. So a week from today, I will give you my actual predictions. Why? Because whoever predicts the fewest correct outcomes on this card will be facing the Nerf wall on the Upstate Pulse, which airs Saturday from 7 to 9 on WORD, a predicament which T2 knows all too well about.
It's always me.
In the, 2 years that the Nerf wall has been the pot. For those of you who don't know what the Nerf wall is, we do these wrestling predictions every couple of months where Zoe and I, wrestling experts, alongside T2, the artist formerly known as show contributor Cameron, Matthew Causey, the man with the most official voice in all the land, and occasionally Captain America Chris Evans down the hall, give our predictions, and whoever predicts the fewest right has to stand against the wall, allowed only like a folder for protection for their face or other vital organs, should they elect to defend those instead. every other member of the cast stands on the other side of the studio with a variety of Nerf guns, and for 30 seconds...
More like an arsenal.
It is nothing shy of a small arsenal of Nerf guns. Including one, by the way. If you get unlucky and our buddy Rob Young from Borderlands shows up, Rob shows up with what I can only accurately describe as a Nerf Gatling gun.
Yeah.
This gun, when he fires it up, is battery operated and produces a very audibly bzzz when he's ready to go. It is so powerful that when Rob Young shows up and brings his Nerf Gatling gun, that we have to give him a 15-second countdown so that the gun's gears can catch up with the motor that drives them.
Yep.
So far, Rob Brown has successfully avoided the Nerf wall throughout his career. If I recall correctly, last Saturday, Tim Snow, the Timinator, had to face the Nerf wall twice?
No, I faced it.
Or you faced it back to back.
Back to back,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because we had a tie... We had missed 1 week.
Yep.
And then after that, I had to face it again. And we were going to do it back to back, like in the same day.
60 uninterrupted seconds.
Yeah. But then it turned out I didn't have to do that. So then we had another tiebreaker, and then I lost that.
There you go. So we all want to avoid the Nerf wall because it is, from what I understand from the people who have faced the Nerf wall, not a pleasant experience.
It's not.
Especially considering the fact that as everybody in that room is friends, there is no one you want to face less than your friends when they can cause mild harm to you via Nerf guns. So we will give you our predictions next week. There is absolutely a bet loss on the line. But here's the card as we know it so far. We've got a Hell in the Cell match between Edge and Finn Balor, obviously a Judgment Day grudge match. We have seen mixed matches with Edge and his wife, the Glamazon, versus Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor. This rivalry, if I may be honest, has probably been going on just a touch too long. But Edge has a few times given us some... very interesting promos that kept it just fresh enough to keep me interested. We know that there is now a 6-woman tag team match on the list. We knew that Trish Stratus and Lita were both going to be involved, but the common thought was that one of the two of them would be in Bayley's corner, one of the two of them in Becky Lynch's corner. Instead, both of them will be alongside Becky Lynch as they take on Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. I am going to say as somebody that had, and frankly maintains, a massive crush on Lita, because absolutely give me a woman who doesn't give a damn about what anybody thinks about her. Lita did not look good the last couple of times she's been in the ring. All right, it's just not been great. So I'm not as pumped about this as I should be with a couple of Hall of Famers in there. We got Seth freaking Rollins taking on Logan Paul. I can't stand Logan Paul. Just as a person, I can't stand him. Unfortunately, the dude's a hell of a professional wrestler. Unfortunately for me, really good wrestler. Seth Rollins and Logan Paul have had some interesting segments. This will be a passive watch. Like, I'll be into it, but I'll be watching passively. You got a WWE United States Championship match when Austin Theory, your current champ, takes on John Cena. Cena came out a couple of weeks ago and just absolutely smoked Austin Theory on a mic, as he is wont to do sometimes. Very intrigued by this matchup, primarily because Austin Theory has gotten dramatically better since he has become your United States champion. But he's going up against the legend. And the question is going to be, does John Cena do the job and lay down for Austin Theory, right? I got to think the answer is yes. He's a vet. He's obviously spending more time in Hollywood than in a ring right now. But you never know. You've got a triple threat match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship between Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior, Drew McIntyre, the Scottish Warrior, and of course, friend of the show, WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther, who we had the opportunity and privilege to interview about 5 weeks ago on the station. Great guy, by the way. Stellar dude. That might be the best match of the night that nobody's talking about. Really interested in that. Brock Lesnar versus Almos. Okay, cool. Undisputed Tag Team Championship, the Usos taking on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. This is the highlight in the match of the night, pardon me. Predominantly because it's part of the Bloodline storyline, which is the best storyline WWE's had in a number of years. Does Jay turn on Jimmy? Do Jimmy and Jay lay down for Kevin and Sammy? Do they turn on Roman the next night? How does this all play out? You've got, obviously, the continued involvement of Cody Rhodes, who was instrumental in bringing these two guys back together. I don't know, man. Like, that's there's so many ways that story could go, and I'm very excited to see what they decide. You got a Raw Women's Championship matchup between Bianca Belair and Asuka. Should be good. New look Asuka's fun. Bianca Belair is probably the best female wrestler they've had on the roster for a very long time. Of course, the SmackDown Women's Championship as well with Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. I should be more into that than I am, right? But like, we've done this with Charlotte Flair. We've done it a number of times. She shows up. She wins the belt. She goes to WrestleMania. She loses the belt. She goes away for 8 months. She shows back up 8 months later. She wins the belt, et cetera, et cetera. Rinse and repeat. And then, of course, your top card on the match right now, Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, taking on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. The match itself is not interesting. What's interesting is that WWE has a very difficult, I think, decision to make on their hands. On one hand, if Roman Reigns retains the belt, Roman Reigns can be the first 1,000-day champ in a very, very long time. If Roman Reigns retains the belt, he will solidify what is already, I think, a championship run that is frankly worthy of a first-year Hall of Fame induction. Whether he does or doesn't, and more importantly, how he does or doesn't, is going to be what I'm most interested in finding out about. And we will talk about that when we get closer next week as well. Final couple of things we will get to. Dan, the superfan man, texts into the show, 71307. Start your text with fan. He said, how can Vegas allow betting when it's been fixed before it was open to bet on? They can change the script. So there's a couple of things at play here. Number one, WWE is obviously remarkably secretive about the winners and the losers, right? SmackDown a few weeks ago was very interesting for me because when we go, we get seats underneath the hard cam to the left that are directly behind the television production control board, right? And we could see from our seats, although I had to be a little sneaky, use my cell phone camera and zoom in on it, we were actually able to see the show rundown. So we knew the spoiler matches of the night, the surprise matches of the night, before they happen. But what's not on there is the winners and losers. They don't tell you who's going to win and go over, who's going to lose and do the job. WWE basically keeps that information between, like, a few people. Whoever's running the show at this point in time, assumed to be Triple H. The referee, who's going to make the three count. The person in charge of producing the match. That's the person who works with the two wrestlers throughout the week to get them on the same page for the match that's going to be run. And the wrestlers themselves. And on top of that, they have been known many times to change the ending to the match when the match is happening, right? Something happens in the match and the person running the show goes, oh, wait a minute, the story's going to be better if instead of that guy winning, that guy wins. The referees all wear an earpiece and they'll get on and go,
change the ending, we're going to have so-and-so go over so-and-so instead of, just change the ending, let them know.
And then the ref tells them, hey guys, flipping the script, right? Flipping the ending. So they can allow us to gamble on it because even though it is scripted, there ain't but maybe eight people who know the ending of the match before the match happens. Every now and then, it'll get out on the dirt sheets. And if that's the case, Vegas will take it off the board. But because of the fact that they can change the match within the match, they won't. There's a discussion going on right now, I believe, in Pennsylvania that would allow WWE professional wrestling to become a gambled upon topic if it goes through in a state. The reason we're all paying attention to this is because if it goes through in a state, other states become more likely to let them jump in. Why does the WWE want this to happen? Very simple. Gambling drives viewership. You may not be a fan, but if you've got the opportunity to drop some coin on a sporting event, and trust me, I know, I'm the dude that has stayed up till 2 in the morning watching cricket when I don't understand how the hell cricket works because I put $2 on the Australians to beat New Zealand with no idea how the game even freaking works. Yeah, if I can put some money on wrestling and tune in to win some money, I'm going to do it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show, and then we call it a Thursday next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate final segment, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to Twitter trending topics, for those of you who, like me, are fans of the Greenville Triumph, coming up at 3 p.m. today, I will be sitting down with John Harkes, the head coach of that team. I will be sitting down for a few minutes with him. I will be sitting down for a few minutes with Doug Irwin and Chris Lewis. That is the CBO and the president of the Greenville Triumph. Be doing a two-man interview with them. And then I'll be sitting down with a pair of players from the Triumph roster. One vet of the team and one noob to the team to get a player perspective of the angle. And what we are going to do with this, and I'm very grateful for the Greenville Triumph for allowing this, is I am actually going to run a season-long podcast about the Triumph with the Triumph, so fans of the team can follow along with that. I've wanted to, for a very long time, do a season-long week or bi-weekly podcast about a team to keep fans connected because I think it offers you a perspective that, as a fan, you're not ordinarily privy to. So you got any question for Harksey players, Doug or Chris, send them to me, and I'll ask them at 3 o'clock when I do that podcast. It should drop, theoretically, tomorrow afternoon.
All right, it's now time for your Twitter trending topics. Coming in at number one, we got hashtag PlayStation.
I have seen a lot of tweets about PlayStation over the past day and a half. Sometimes on Twitter, a thing will trend because there's like a take about them and everybody just starts having a billion conversations about that thing. And it's not one particular reason that it's trending. I do not know why PlayStation is trending. All I can say is late spring, I will likely be upgrading my gaming console, and I'm very much stuck. Do I stick Xbox and upgrade to the S, or do I finally make the leap over and go PlayStation? Because while I am very comfortable on Xbox, as it's all I've played since college, which was a very long time ago, PlayStation seems to have a lot more exclusive games available to it than Xbox does, and B, the online service for PlayStation is free, whereas I've got to pay a monthly fee to do it on Xbox, which is a selling point. Because if I took all the money that I have paid month by month to play games with my hood rat friends on the Xbox, I could have bought multiple PlayStation 5s.
And not to mention, if you break down the specs, PlayStation does operate better than Xbox generally.
That's what I've heard. Like, it's just performance, it's got a faster processor to it, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just...
Better graphics.
Yeah. I'm
processing speed, everything.
I have a slight lean towards making the jump over to PlayStation. It's not a big one. It's a slight lean. But I like I said, I'm probably end of April, early May will make the jump. And again, I just don't know what to do yet.
I mean, it's like I told you yesterday. If you're a casual gamer, I would go with the Xbox S, Series S.
If
you're a serious gamer that has to have the new games as soon as they come out, like me, then I would go with the disc version of the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. See, I'm really right in the middle, right? Like I dive into a game, I play it 2, 3, 4 weeks, I get tired of it, I go back to an old game. The only thing that I really do that makes me want to jump to the better system right now is run Call of Duty with the boys once, 2, 3 times per week.
I got to tell you, it's been the same for me lately. Like, I have not gotten into a good RPG lately, and I've just been playing Call of Duty a lot.
Well, I think for me, the bar was set, and I know this is kind of nerdy to say, the bar was set for me with Skyrim. Skyrim was so good, so in-depth, and so big that there's really been no RPGs that have come out that have captured me the way that I've got right now. If you open Skyrim on my Xbox, I've probably got 12 different characters, and I jump between them. Now, there is one coming up that the release date keeps getting pushed back on, and I can't remember the name of it. You may or may not know off the top of your head, T2, but it's they're calling it GTA in space, right? So I love GTA.
I love
GTA.
I've seen it. I don't know the name of the game, though.
I don't either. Lonzo told me about it. He's very big on it. I'm very big on it. It looks like it's going to be super dope. And I'll I'm any space themed game I'm in for. I just not terribly long ago started playing through the Andromeda Effect series, and it's pretty damn good so far. Yeah. And again, wide open, lots of character choices. You can do what you want to do. So this game's got me intrigued, but I don't know if that's worth it to jump over for the only system I've played for 15 years to a brand new system for a couple of games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're only into a couple of games, I would go with, because generally Xbox and PlayStation will have the same games generally.
Yep.
Unless it's something like Bungie's Halo or something
right.
like that.
See, and even that, like they still crank out Halo content. I get into
right.
it. I'm into it for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then I'm like, all right, let me go back to a classic. Let me go back to Skyrim. The other aspect of it, I mean, I can keep the
see,
Xbox
that's what
One
I keep
plugged
doing. I keep
in.
Going back. I keep
yeah.
going back to old games.
Exactly. So that's the other angle, is I can keep the Xbox One and still play the old games, that, you know, the comfort food on Xbox One.
Right.
I just don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. If you got any questions for the Greenville Triumph staff, coach, front office, players, etc., send them to me on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, or email them to me, rob.brown@thefanoffstate.com. When we come back tomorrow, we'll relook at the 4 Sweet 16 games from tomorrow. We'll set you up for sports over the weekend. We'll take a look at the Braves spring training, where they are as we are now inside of a week and a day from opening day and more. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow. We'll do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate later, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.